Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mrs. Ann Romney and the next president of the United States, Mitt Romney!
If I don't survive,
that's quite a Dubuque welcome, I'll tell you. Thank you. This is as much as you hear when you're in a NASCAR race, right, Richard? Boy, it's great to be here. Richard Petty, NASCAR fame and champion. Thank you, Richard, for being here. Senator Grassley, have you hit any deer lately? Those of you who watch his blog know that he bumped into a deer the other day, and he said that unfortunately it didn't make it. The deer didn't make it, but was it delicious? I have the next First Lady of the United States here with me, Ann Romney.
You all know that Iowa holds a very special place in our heart. We've been in so many of your communities, and we have come to love this state and love this people. We also know why you're here today. It's because you love America. I'm standing next to a guy that I've been married to for a long time, 43 years, and I know him. I know him so well. In everything he's done, he's achieved excellence in our marriage, in raising our five boys, in business, as a governor, as turning around the Olympics. And I can't wait to see him do the next turnaround, because it's going to happen. May I introduce to you the next president of the United States.
Three more days, exactly right. Three more days. Yeah, it's true.
Three more days.
Now I know most of you here have decided who you're voting for in three more days. But you have some neighbors who haven't made up their minds yet. And so I want to make sure that I give you all the arguments you need to make sure that you convince some of them to come over and vote for our team. Paul Ryan and I want to make sure this country gets back on the right track. We want to bring real change to America. So some folks are just putting aside the demands of daily life and focusing on this campaign, and they want to know what the future is going to hold, depending upon who becomes the next president, who's going to affect their life and their family's life, and who's going to affect the country in the way that will make the greatest difference. You can go back and remind them that words are cheap. You can say whatever you want to say in a campaign, but what you can achieve, results, those are earned. Those can't be faked. And you see, 4 years ago, you could remind them that candidate Obama made a number of promises. And then you can go through and look at those promises and say how well they do on those. He said, for instance, he was going to be a post-partisan president. He's been most partisan in dividing and attacking. He also said he'd cut the deficit in half. He doubled it. He was going to get unemployment down to 5.2% right now. We just learned on Friday it's up to 7.9%. That means 9 million more Americans don't have work than what he promised. He also said he was going to cut your health insurance premiums by $2,500 a year. Anybody seen that happen to them lately? No. Actually, for the average American, it's gone up by $3,000 a year. And then, of course, he said he was going to save Social Security and Medicare. Came out with no plan to do either one of those things. In fact, he took $716 billion out of Medicare to pay for his vaunted Obamacare. He said he was going to work across the aisle. He was going to work with Republicans and Democrats to get things done. Interesting, you know, do you know how long it's been since he has spoken with either the Senate, the Republican leader in the Senate or Republican leader in the House about either the economy or the deficit or sequestration or jobs? It's been since July. I don't call that working across the aisle with people in the opposition party. He made a lot of promises, but those promises he couldn't keep. And the difference between us, he made promises he couldn't keep. I'm making promises I have kept, and I will keep them for the American people. Now, you can look at my record, actually. You can see that, in fact, I was able to bring change. He talks about it. I actually helped bring it. I mean, starting a new business, that's not an easy thing to do. That's real change. And then I helped take a company that was in trouble and turn it around, and also help with the Olympics when they got in trouble, help turn them around. And I got elected in a state where there are a few Democrats, Massachusetts. My legislature was 85% Democrat. And instead of attacking each other, we went to work to try and solve our problems. We had a multi-billion-dollar budget gap, and we came together. And we did something that doesn't happen very often. We actually reduced state spending, not just slowed its rate of growth. We cut spending. We finally got ourselves also to cut taxes 19 times. We made our state more business-friendly. And by the way, at the end of my four-year term, a $3 billion deficit had turned into a $2 billion rainy day fund. Instead of raising taxes, we raised take-home pay. Instead of having jobs disappear, we grew jobs. And instead of having a deficit, we had a surplus. It can happen. Good Republicans and good Democrats can come together for the good of the nation. It has got to happen. I will make it happen. Now, the president, but I have a plan, all right? Paul Ryan and I know the five things that it's going to take to get this economy going, and I want to remind you of them. We want to make sure, number one, we take advantage of our oil, our coal, our gas, our renewables, and our nuclear. I'm going to make sure we double the number of permits on federal land and federal waters for additional drilling. I'm going to bring that pipeline in from Canada. We're going to get North American energy independence within 8 years. Think of that. I also want to make sure that we have trade opportunities. I want to open up new markets for American goods. We are a very productive people. We make more stuff per person than any other nation on earth. And I want to make sure we take advantage of that to open new places where we can sell our goods and make sure that people have a bright future here because we're selling more there. And by the way, if there are nations that cheat, and there are nations that have been cheating in trade, we're going to hold them accountable and stop it. We want to protect American jobs. I want our training programs to work for the workers who want to be trained in the skills of today. And I also want to make sure our schools are the best in the world. It breaks my heart to see a great state like this that used to have schools here, now globally having schools come down. Nationwide, our schools are in the bottom third or bottom quartile. That does not make sense. It's time for us to put our kids first and the parents first, the teachers first, and the union behind. Number four, Number four, I want to do something with the federal government that we were able to do in our state government, and that is I want to cut spending, I want to cap it, and finally get to a balanced budget. And number five, I want to champion small business. I want to help small business grow. That's where jobs come from. Look, the people of America know that these things have to happen. We need the 12 million jobs those five steps will create. We need the higher take-home pay that those jobs will create. This is a critical time. We need to come together to achieve those things. But you know, your neighbor, the mayor, not have decided who to vote for. They really know all they need to know about who to vote for based on what we've done in the past and what they know the future would look like. They know, for instance, if they were to elect Barack Obama, the next president of the United States, that he will not be able to work with Congress. He has not for the last 4 years. He's ignored them. He's attacked them. He is not going to be able to work with Congress. And you're going to have another debt ceiling come up, and there's going to be a question about whether there's going to be a shutdown of government or a default. Can you imagine 4 more years of that going on? Look, yeah, look, I will do what has to be done, and that is I will meet regularly with Democrat leaders, Republican leaders. I'll find good people in both parties who care more about the interest of the people than they do about politics. It can happen. It's got to happen. I mean, you know what he's going to do on energy. He's going to continue his war on coal and oil and gas. Look, my view is let's take advantage of the natural resources we have, make sure they're clean and abundant, that we bring back jobs into this country, and we stop spending hundreds of billions of dollars to other nations. And you know that if the president were to be reelected, he'll continue to promote bigger and bigger government and demote business, small business. Let me tell you this. I'm looking forward to a real change. I mean, you think about this. This is a president who put together his own jobs council. He selected business leaders around the nation to come meet with him. And these are people he selected, put this job council together. Do you know how long it's been since he met with his own jobs council?
January!
9 months. It's been 9 months since he's met with his own jobs council. Look, I'm gonna make sure that from day one people understand that we finally got a president and an administration and a government in the United States that likes job creators and small business and entrepreneurs. And I do. I was in Richmond, Virginia yesterday and had the chance to meet a woman named Rhoda Elliott. She's been running her family restaurant business, Bill's Barbecue. They had as many as 200 employees at one point. Now, her family's been in that business for 82 years, but she just closed it down. And she did, she said, because she just couldn't go on with the taxes, with the regulation, with Obamacare and the cost of Obamacare to her business, and with the Obama economy. And she got teary-eyed as she told me all the problems that they've been having, and I recognized this wasn't about money for her, that this is about her family and their family's future. And it's about the family of employees she had working with her. Very emotional. She needs help. Small business needs help. And I will bring it and help small business in this country. Now, I know that across America, people have watched as our campaign has grown into a movement. It's not just the size of the crowds, although this is pretty darn impressive, I got to tell you. It's also the energy and the passion, the recognition that we share a deep conviction about the future of this country. I feel a great obligation to strive to be more worthy of your support and your help. And I want to campaign as I would govern and to speak for the aspirations of all Americans. You know, I learned as the governor of Massachusetts that the best achievements are shared achievements. And I learned that respect and goodwill go a long way, and they're usually, when they're shared, they come back to you as well. They're reciprocated. And that's how I'm going to conduct myself as president. I won't just represent one party. I will represent one nation. yesterday. Yesterday, the president said something you may have already heard that I found troubling. Spoke to an audience and said voting is the best revenge. He's asking his supporters to vote for revenge. I'm asking you to vote for love of country. We have got to lead America to a better place. Now, is there anyone that's worried that the last 4 years are the best we can do? Is there anyone who fears that the American dream is fading away? Is there anyone who wonders whether better jobs and better incomes are slipping from our grasp? I have a clear and unequivocal message, and that is America is about to come roaring back. You've seen the differences between President Obama and myself in those debates we had, which I liked very much, by the way. He says it has to stay this way. I say it can't stay this way. He's offering excuses. I've got a plan. I want to go to work. He wants to settle. Look, Americans don't settle. We aspire. We reach, we dream, we achieve. And so on November 6th, we're going to come together all across the country for a better future. And on November 7th, we're going to go to work. I've got a job for you, by the way. I want you to reach across the street to the neighbor that has that other sign in his front yard. And I'm going to reach across the aisle in Washington, D.C. to the politicians who are working for the other candidate. America's going to come together at a critical time. We're going to re-strengthen the foundations of our economy and recommit ourselves to the values that made America the hope of the earth. We've come a long way, you guys. We've been here a few times before, right into this wonderful city, with great friends all around us. We've had some long days and some short nights. And we are almost there. The door is open. We're going to walk through it. This is a critical time. You know, when Ann and I were at home a couple of years ago, we happened to watch a show on TV that talked about a fictional football team. And this is a team that faced the long odds. And when they would leave the locker room to go out onto the gridiron, they would touch a sign above the door that said, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And the people in Iowa, you got clear eyes. You've seen a lot of politicians. You've seen a lot of people come and go, making a lot of promises. You've got clear eyes. You know what is truth and what is not. You have full hearts. I see a number of people in this audience who served our nation, and I appreciate your service to this nation. On Tuesday, Ann and I and Paul Ryan and Jana, we're counting on your clear eyes and your full hearts, because with the vote of the people of Iowa, we can't lose. Thank you so very much. Thank you. We're going to bring back America. Thank you so much. Thanks, you guys.